You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Before we get going today, I want to share a little bit of a story with you, kind of explain what we've been talking about. We've been talking about Jesus is, and my goal for this series is just to explain to you who Jesus is. You know, a lot of times we show up in church, hey, we may have been in church our whole lives and not really know who Jesus was. Jesus was literally on earth for 33 years, and there were some people after he was gone had no idea who he was, what he was about. There was people that walked along beside him. Judas commits suicide, kills himself, and he was one of Jesus's boys. He was in his crew. Kills himself because he didn't really understand what was happening. So my goal for you today is for you not to kill yourself. Amen? We don't want to do that, especially not in church. And my goal for you today is know who Jesus is. Who is he for you? Who is he for me? All right? Real quickly, let me tell you a story. I read the story the other day. I kind of liked it. There was this man, an older man, and he was sick. He, you know, possibly dying is one of those kind of deals. He was just very sickly in bed. And his daughter had a new pastor at her church. And she wanted that new pastor to come see her dad, who had been bedridden for quite a while. So the daughter calls the pastor. Pastor shows up at the house. He's a young guy and real good looking guy, bald headed, real bushy beard. I don't know anybody like that. But he shows up and he's like, hey, let me meet your dad. Goes in to meet the dad. When he goes in to meet the dad, he walks in and he notices he's just the old man in a bed sitting up with some pillows and an empty chair in the room and, you know, table and all that. And so he goes around to sit in the empty chair and the old man says, oh, no. Hey, I need you to close the door. So he goes around and he closes the door and the guy starts talking to him, says, I'm the pastor, whatever. And they start this long conversation. And as they're talking, the young pastor was going to sit in the chair, and the dad said, no, don't sit in that chair. Just sit right over here. He said, well, why not? He said, well, you know what? You're going to think I'm crazy. He said, but the truth is, for a long time, I did not know how to pray. Anybody know how that old man feels? Right? There's a lot of us didn't know how to pray. This guy didn't know how to pray. He said, for a long time, I didn't know how to pray. And I started talking to one of my buddies one time, and I was explaining to him, I just didn't like praying because I didn't understand it. Like, I didn't understand trying to talk to somebody that wasn't really there. You know, I couldn't see them, and so it's really difficult for me to talk to them. And so my buddy was trying to help me out, and one of the things he told me was he said, hey, one of the things you need to do is just get you a chair and sit the chair in front of you and just pretend that Jesus is sitting in that chair, and you just talk to him like a friend. And the guy was thinking, well, that's kooky. You know what I mean? Like pretending. Like that now he's my imaginary friend. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want Jesus to be for real. And so the guy said, no, it's not pretending because the Bible says, Jesus speaking, I will be with you always. So Jesus is here even though you can't see him. So just talk to the chair. And the young guy's like, okay. You know, and the young pastor and the old man says, so what I do is every so often whenever I want to pray, I just pull that chair up next to my bed, and I just talk to the chair like Jesus was sitting in it. He said, but I always make sure I close my door because my daughter will think I'm crazy and put me in the nursing home. And so the young pastor was just so impressed. He just stood up, man. He said, well, let me just pray for you. And he prayed for him and encouraged him to continue on his journey walking or sitting with Jesus right there. Can I tell you something today? The desire of God is to be there with you. The desire of God is to be here, wherever here may be. Wherever you find yourself, Jesus wants to be here with you. So the message today, a couple of our messages have been Jesus is the point. We talked about Jesus is grace. Today we're saying Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for this beautiful group of people, and I thank you that you're going to touch our lives today. You're going to bless us today. God, I thank you that today you are here. Wherever we may find ourselves today, whatever path we may be on, I thank you that you're there, you're with us, and you want to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, look, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures today. We're really going to hang out a lot in Matthew 28:20. So if you want to throw your finger in Matthew 28:20, put a note in there or whatever, dog ear the page. That's where we're going to hang out a lot. But we're going to hit a couple of other verses along the way. We're going to start off in the book of Genesis. That's the first book of the Bible, and that's where we're going to kick it off today. So if you look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, if you don't have your Bible today, it's okay. We're going to throw it up on the screen for you. The Bible says this, God speaking, then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. It is not good that man should be alone. Can I tell you something about man? Now we always throw this off on the men in the room, right? Everybody says that's why God had to create woman to keep man straight, right? And that's true for the most part. For the most part, anybody that's married, you know, if you didn't have your wife, you would be in trouble. Amen? Amen. You better say amen because your wife will get you after the service. You need to understand that God looks down. I don't think he was just talking about Adam, though. I think he was talking about every man. And I don't think he was just talking about man, like I'm a man. I think he's talking about man as in all people. I think God looked down at man and he saw an inside deficiency. He saw something inside of man that he recognized as a weakness. And that weakness was that man should not be alone. At the end of the day, we need others. At the end of the day, we need God. And he saw it from the beginning. Let me tell you something, though. Somebody else saw it, too. The Bible says that in 1 Peter, it says that the devil is like a roaring lion, prowling around looking for somebody that he can devour. Can I tell you something interesting about lions? You know, lions, if a lion's going hunting and he's going up against a bunch of wildebeests, let's say, he's not going to go after the biggest, strongest wildebeest, right? What's he going to do? He's going to look for that one wildebeest that's kind of off to the side. He wants to try and cut one from the herd and get him off by himself. And that's the wildebeest he attacks and eats. Let me tell you something about the devil today. Let me tell you something about our enemy today. Our enemy is like a lion. In other words, the way he attacks you is he wants to cut you from the herd. He wants to separate you from everybody else. He wants to separate you from God. He knows if he can get you alone, he can expose that inner weakness that all men have. And at that point, he's got you. He's got you. There's some folks, you haven't been in church in a while. Not just this church, just church period. Maybe you haven't been in church in a while. Maybe you never gotten plugged in to a small group. Maybe your relationship with God has kind of gone stagnant and really void. And you kind of distanced yourself away. And all of a sudden you find yourself, whenever you get a little bit of distance, you'll find some things begin to work in your life. Let me tell you what that is. That is the enemy lying to you and filling you up with his plan to cut you from the herd. If you look in Genesis chapter 3, we'll just stay in the book of Genesis real quick. Let me look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Listen to this. This is after Adam and Eve have sinned, right? The first sin ever. They sin, and whenever they sin, look immediately what happens. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What happened? The devil's plan worked, right? He was able to separate them from God. He was able to cause them to hide themselves. Now, I always read this verse and inside kind of chuckle because I think if God is all-knowing and all-seeing, how are you going to hide from God? You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm not here, you know? I feel like it's like little kids, you know, you tell them to play hide-and-go-seek, and what do? They cover up their eyes. My two-year-old son, he'll put on a blanket sometimes and just put it over his head. And so he looks like a ghost. And he'll just stand in the middle of the room and be like, find me, you know. And I'm like, you're right there. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. And he tries to hide, although I know where he is. That's how God is. God's saying, I know where you are. Don't be trying to hide from me. But it's the plan of the devil to try and separate you away from the herd, to keep you from the source of life. And the plan he uses are things like shame, right? He uses shame. I was in a small group just this week, and in my small group, that was one of the things we were talking about was shame. And if you look at Adam and Eve, all of a sudden, they realize they've sinned, and the first thing they do is they want to cover up their nakedness, and so they start sewing together fig leaves, and they cover themselves up with fig leaves. Why? Because they were ashamed. They were full of shame, and so they try and hide themselves from God. The devil will use shame to separate you from God and separate you from other people. He'll do it. All of a sudden, listen, you mess up. All it takes is for you to mess up one time. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I've sinned, I messed up big time, And you know what? I didn't want to come to church. I had to because my dad was a pastor. I didn't want to come to church. I sure didn't want to worship God. I didn't want to read my Bible. I didn't want to do anything. Why? Because I was so ashamed of who I was. I didn't want to tell anybody what I'd done, but at the same time, I didn't want to be around anybody. And I was shameful. That's the plan of the enemy. That's what he wants to do to you. He wants to come in and he wants to make you ashamed of who you are, ashamed of what you've done, and then separate you. Shame is different than guilt. Guilt's okay, right? Because guilt is recognition that I've done wrong. Shame, though, is more inward. It's more about who I am, and I'm shameful. I try to hide. I try to cover up. The other thing you'll notice, he uses shame to separate us from God. But look at the next thing the devil does. As soon as God starts talking to Adam and Eve, Eve immediately says this. Adam says, it's the woman. The woman made me do it. She made me eat the fruit. She made me sin. What does Eve do? It wasn't me. It was the serpent. The serpent made me do it, right? And it's like all of a sudden they start blaming other people. And so the enemy uses this victim mentality, like it's not my fault, it's their fault. He uses this victim mentality to now he has used shame to separate us from God, and he uses this victim mentality to separate us from each other. And so all of a sudden you're going to notice yourself at some point in life, you're going to notice yourself, the enemy is going to want to cull you from the herd. He's going to want to get you off by yourself. He's going to make you feel ashamed of everything you've ever done, ashamed of who you are. And you won't want to pray. You won't want to read your Bible. You won't want to go to church. Then he's going to make you feel like this victim, like it's everybody else's fault but yours. And then you don't want to go to church. You don't want to go to small group. You don't want to be a part of the dream team. Why? Because it's their fault. It's the preacher's fault that I'm like this. We don't want to take our own responsibility. I remember one time I was having a bad time in church. Y'all gonna think I was just sitting on the pew, but I was actually on staff at a church. It just goes to show you how jacked up I really am. So I was on staff at this church. I was having a bad time. I wasn't enjoying my life. I hated going to work. I did not like going to church. And I had this victim mentality that it wasn't my fault. It was, you know, well, my boss is saying this and doing that, and this person in the church is doing this and doing that. And I noticed I kept isolating myself. I would isolate myself from this person and that person. And all of a sudden, I was driving my wife crazy. And it began to isolate me from her because she's just getting mad at me for always thinking everybody's against me. And one day, I went down to the altar. And I just began to pray. I don't even know if it was like altar time or whatever. I just went down. I just remember praying. And I remember telling God, God, this is me. Just show me. I'll own it. I'll accept responsibility. But I can't live like this anymore, and I want to be happy. And can I tell you something? God immediately turned that situation around. It didn't have anything to do. He didn't change the pastor. He didn't change the church people. He didn't change the circumstances. You know what he changed? He changed me. He changed me. I'm going to tell you something today. You may be feeling shameful. You may be feeling like a victim, but all you're doing is allowing the enemy, like a roaring lion, to cull you from the herd so that he can attack you and draw you down. What we need to work on today is, how do I fix that? How do I turn that around? The devil wants you to be isolated. I didn't put this in our notes, but Proverbs 18:1 says the man that isolates himself goes crazy, loses his brains, right? So it's important that we make sure we've got someone else with us. And that's what I love about Jesus, is Jesus says, I want to be with you. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Now, it's important for you to understand this. Whenever someone as important as Jesus says last words, we need to pay attention. Okay? Preachers always put the most important thing at the end of the sermon. Today, I'll put the most practical part, the take home, the one thing you can do when you leave, I'll put it at the end of the sermon. Why? Because that's the last thing I want you to remember. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to get that. So when Jesus is speaking and we see him come up on some last words in a book or in a chapter, I want you to take note of them. And here's the last thing he says in the book of Matthew. Verse 20, go to the second sentence. It says, and surely I'm with you always, to the very end of age. I want to break that down for just a second, and then we'll get into some practical stuff, and then we'll dismiss. He says, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The first thing I want you to notice is the words, I am. Did you notice that he didn't say, I will be with you? or I have been with you. He says, I am with you. Here's the cool thing about God. God has this just crazy understanding of time that we don't get and we will never really understand. And his understanding of time is that he could care less about past, present, or future. At the end of the day, it's all present for God. God says things like, I am that I am. You want to know my name? My name is I am. God says things like, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He used three dead people and says, I am the God of these dead people. It doesn't make any sense. How can you be God of a dead person? Because to God, they're not dead. Like, to God, he operates in the past, in the present, and in the future. It's all I am to him. Everything is present to him. Now, some of y'all are sitting there going, what? It's okay. It's okay to not understand that because, hey, at the end of the day, if we understood God, he wouldn't be God, right? If we could understand everything about him, then he wouldn't be special. So it's okay to not understand that. But what you do need to understand is that God says, Jesus says, I am. I am. In other words, no matter what time you're in, he's with you. Some of y'all may be saying, yeah, but you don't understand. I wasn't serving God last week. I wasn't serving God last year. I wasn't serving God 4 years ago. He didn't care. He says, I am. I'm still with you. Whether you're serving me or not, I'm still with you whenever you are. You get that? I didn't say wherever. I'm with you whenever you are. That's the first thing you need to understand about God. He is with you, right? Always. Here's the second thing he says. He says, I am with you always. The word with you there, I want to focus on that for just a second. It goes back to that desire that God has to fulfill the need that you have. God looks at you and he says, that person has a need. Sandra has a need for me to be with her. It is not good for Sandra to be alone. Does she need other people? Yes, she needs other people. But it's not good for her to be alone without me. And so therefore, I'm going to fulfill that need by being with Sandra. You need to understand that today. It's not God's desire to use you. It's not God's desire to push you into ministry. It's God's desire just to be with you. He just wants to be with you. My wife and I are living a crazy, hectic schedule right now. I mean, it's nuts, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody else. But we've got this schedule to the point to where we just don't get to be with each other very often. And one of the things we talked about the other night was the enemy's trying to call her away from me, right? Put some shame on her. She says, I'm sorry. I'm never around. I'm always doing class and I'm always doing this. And I said, no. Look, if we get an hour today to just hang out and sit on the couch, I'm good. I'm good. Because I just want to be with you. At the end of the day, I don't want anything else that you've got. I just want you. Like, I just want to be with you. I want to hang out with you. It's not about your gifts, your talents, your abilities. It's about you. And I want to be with you. God says that about you today. Some of us are saying, well, I got to get better before he's with me. Or I got to be able to produce something. You know, I got to be able to do ministry or do something before he wants to be with me. And God says, no, it's not about that. He says, I am with you. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. And all your gifts, all your talents, all your abilities, all your things that you can do to help me reach the lost, that will come out of an overflow of you just being with me. Notice Jesus going to Zacchaeus. We preached that a few weeks ago. Zacchaeus is jacked up. Zacchaeus is like a mob boss, right? And you look at Zacchaeus, the little bitty mob boss, and you look at Zacchaeus, and Jesus doesn't ask Zacchaeus to do anything except, let's go hang out. All Jesus says is, I just want to hang out with you. I just want to be with you. Then Zacchaeus goes off giving everybody all his money and doing all this wonderful stuff. It came out of an overflow of just being with Jesus. We don't know what Jesus said, if he said anything to Zacchaeus. They just hung out. And then life changed. We believe here at Gateway that life happens in the context of relationships. In other words, that's why we push small groups so much, because life change can only happen in the context of a relationship. Well, the same thing is true with Jesus. You want your life to change? You listening to my sermons will not change your life. You getting the latest, greatest book from whatever preacher you want to get or whatever motivational speaker you want to find will not change your life. You going to a counselor will not change your life. Are those things good? Yes, they're good. Do I encourage them? Of course I encourage them. But that's not life changing. Life changing is whenever you hang out with Jesus. Just hang out with him. He ain't asking for 4 hours. He's just asking for a little bit of time. He just wants to hang out with you. He just wants a chair in the room. He wants a chair in the room. He wants you to make a spot for him. He says, I will be with you. The next thing he says is, always. So he says, I am with you always. If we're saying I am has to do with time, I want always to have to do with every single circumstance. See, a lot of times we think, well, Jesus can't be with me in this or he can't be with me in that. But I disagree. I want to show you why. Let's look at this real quick. The Bible says this. I'm going to give you a couple of scenarios. In Psalm 34:18, listen to this. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I look at someone like Sandy Wright, one of my favorite people in the world. Sandy lost one of my buddies, her husband Don, not too long ago. How does Sandy make it? How does Sandy go on? Because the Bible says God is close to the brokenhearted. He sees somebody brokenhearted, he shows up. He shows up. It doesn't bother him that Don's dead. As a matter of fact, it's fine with him because now he gets Don, right? So he gained and we lost. But he says, I see Sandy's broken heart, I'm going to be with her. You read the story of Lazarus in the Bible. I won't get into the whole thing, but Lazarus and Jesus were buddies. They were good friends. Jesus shows up and Lazarus dies. Lazarus' sisters are all crying and weeping and sad. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that Jesus wept. What does he do? He sees you brokenhearted. He sees you struggling with an issue, maybe death, maybe loss, maybe job loss. I don't know what the case is that you're dealing with today. He sees you coming in here hurt and broken, and he wants to get down on the floor and cry with you. He's not this God that's so far away that says, you got to come up here. He's a God that says, I'm willing to get in here with you. Let's get the Kleenexes out, and let's just go cry it out. That's what I tell my kids when they're upset. So I go in your room, just cry it out. Just get it all out. I don't like people crying around me, so I just make them go cry it out, and then y'all come back. I would not be a good God. God just says, man, I don't care. You crying, I'll cry with you. Let's go. I put my arm around you. We'll both cry together. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Why? Because he's here. He's here when you're brokenhearted. He's here when you're hurt. He's here whenever your boss fires you or your spouse leaves you. He's here. He's here. Jesus is here. Let me give you just another quick one. Another quick one is this. If you look down at Psalm 23, verse 4. Famous psalm. Everybody knows this psalm at one point or another. You've probably heard it in your life, whether you knew it was in the Bible or not. You've heard somebody quote the psalm. But the Bible says this in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, I've told you guys this story before, but some of you are new, so you may not have heard it. But back in 2007, I went to the hospital, and when I went to the hospital, I was complaining of pain, chest pain. I go to the hospital, and they find a golf ball-sized tumor attached to my heart. We didn't know what it was, man. It was scary. And we didn't know why it was hurting. Come to find out later, it was rubbing up against two nerves that run the length of your body. And so every time I would get these attacks, my heart would race, and that tumor was hitting those nerves. And whenever it would hit those nerves, it just sent pain through my body. And I literally at some points thought my heart was going to explode because we had no idea what was going on. The doctors didn't know. They couldn't figure it out, and all they wanted to do was run tests. At that point, I was like, man, just cut me open. I mean, I don't care anymore. I don't care what it is. Just get it out of me, right? And so I'm sitting there, and I remember moments literally thinking, I'm about to die. Like, this is it for me. I'm about to lose everything, and I'm going to be with Jesus, right? Like, I thought I was going to die. And I remember all of a sudden this peace coming on me, and it was before they gave me medicine, so I know it wasn't that. And this peace came on me in the hospital bed, and I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm good. I'm going to be okay. Death or life doesn't matter to me at this point. I'm going to be okay. Why? Because he was there. Even though I didn't see him, he was there. In my darkest hour, in the valley of the shadow of death, when I can't see what's happening, he's there. Jesus is here for you today. Jesus is here for you today. It's important for you to understand this. The Bible says, some of you may be thinking today, well, Jesus isn't here when I sin. What if I mess up? What if I screw up? He's here. Listen, the Bible says this, that there was a man one time, a shepherd, he had 100 sheep. One of those sheep walked away, right? Y'all remember this story? Some of you do. One sheep gets away. One sheep is culled from the herd. There's one sheep that the lion comes after and separates from everybody else. What does Jesus do? He leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Some of you say, but I sinned. It doesn't matter if you sin or not. It doesn't matter if you're not serving him or not. He is pursuing you. He wants to be here with you. He doesn't care how jacked up your life is. He's pursuing you. He's looking for you. He's going to find you. He wants you. I am with you always. I don't care what circumstance you find yourself in today. He wants to be with you. I had someone say one time, well, why do you always preach salvation on Sunday mornings? Why do you want to get people saved on Sunday mornings? What about everybody else? You know, I came to this conclusion the other day. I thought it was pretty good. Pastor Shane, you'll like this. I thought, why did Jesus leave the 99 and go after the one? I realized it. The 99 had each other. If we got each other, it's okay if I go after the one. Amen? I mean, that side note has nothing to do with the sermon. I just like it, so I'm going to say it sometimes. Jesus is with us always. Jesus is with us always. Let me give you the last little thought here, and then we'll move on. The Bible says this. It says he is with us always to the end of the age. To the end of the age. Now, what does that mean? Because that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We don't normally say, hey, I'm going to hang out until the end of the age, right? That's not a term we normally use. Here's what it means. The end of the age means the end of the age of man. In other words, until I physically come back on this earth, Jesus speaking, until I physically come back, I'm still going to be with you. Now I'm thinking, Jesus, that doesn't make any sense. You're leaving, you're coming back, but even while you're gone, you're going to be with me? He says, I'm going to be with you no matter what. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. I'm there. I'm here with you always to the end of the age. So in other words, it's not even just until you die. It's not until you get through your issue. He's saying, until the end of the age, till beyond what you can comprehend, I'm always with you. Even when you're dead, I'm still with you. If you're alive, I'm with you. If you get saved, I'm still with you. If you get the miracle you've been asking for 10 years, I'm still with you. I don't leave you just because you get what you want. I'm with you always to the end of the age. Beyond your comprehension, I'm still with you. Why is that so important? Because every so often as humans, we will allow the enemy to call us from the herd. We will allow the enemy to pull us away, and we need to remember that he's always with us. David said it like this. He said, even if I make my bed in hell, you're with me. You're with me. He says, where can I go to hide from your presence? Nowhere. We can't escape him. We will never leave him. He will never forsake us. Now, some of you are saying, yeah, but can you serve God and then not serve God? Sure you can. You can walk away like the sheep did. You can walk away. There's another story about a son who forsake everything. He just left, right? You can do that. Doesn't mean he's not still looking for you. Doesn't mean he still doesn't have a desire to be with you. He wants you to come back. Amen? Let me give you a takeaway today. If you're taking notes, I'm going to just give you a couple of things, a handful of things that I feel like you can do that will help you to experience Jesus being here. If you want to look at Psalm 100, verse 4, we're going to throw it up on the screen. The first takeaway, the first thing you need to understand today is he's going to be here if you have a desire to press in. If you have a desire to press in, he's going to be here with you. There's a story in the Bible about the disciples on a boat. They're out there rowing their boat, right? Jesus comes walking on the water. Mark 6 says Jesus intended to pass them by. But what does the disciples do? They start screaming out, hey, Jesus, over here, help me, right? And then Jesus comes and gets on the boat with them. And the storm calms down. Y'all remember that story? You should. We just said it last week. So there's a story, right? Listen, let me tell you something. Jesus wants somebody that's hungry, that's thirsty, that's calling out to him. That's calling out to him. Revelation 21:6 says, if you're thirsty, I'll give you life to drink. In other words, I want somebody that's desperate for me. So here's my thought for you today is you got to press into him. You got to call out to him. Don't just sit in your boat and let him walk by. You got to call out to him. You want him here? He's here. Sometimes he's right there. He just wants you to reach out and grab him. Just reach out and grab him. So here's a couple of ways you can do that. Number one is through your worship. Through your worship. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. give thanks to him and bless his name. In other words, he says, if you want me, man, worship. If you'll just worship me, I'll show up. Yeah, but what about prayer time? What about, you know, reading my list of prayer needs? It's not about that. Sometimes it's just about you worshiping. One of the things I've noticed in our 21-day fast is I've gotten some worship CDs, and there's one thing that I've noticed part of my fast was not watching TV, just like regular TV and stuff. And so there's times when I just put on a CD and I just listen to worship music and I just worship God, or I get in my car and it's really hard for me. I'm a big sports fan, so I don't like not listening to sports radio, but for 21 days I haven't listened to sports radio, and I just throw a CD in and I'll just be driving my car just worshiping God. Now look, what does that mean? I want God to be here with me, and I want to experience that in a real way. And worship, David says, is how I get there. It's how I get there. Matter of fact, tomorrow afternoon, I was talking to this buddy of mine. He goes to another church. And I was just talking to him. I said, man, I'm just hungry for God. I want a better relationship with God. I want to grow in my relationship with God. And I was telling him, you know, that sometimes whenever I go into prayer, if I'm not careful, I will bring up this whole list of things, and I feel like I'm going to Santa Claus with my Christmas list. And I said, I'm tired of that. I don't like it when my kids do that to me, when they're always asking. And I said, I just want this relationship with God that's not based on just asking for stuff. He said, man, you know what you need to do? He said, the same thing I need to do. He said, why don't we just get together, just turn on a CD, and let's just worship for about 30 minutes. So tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to go to this other church, and I'm going to go to this guy's office, and we're going to go in some room. He's going to turn on a worship CD, and we're just going to worship for about 30 minutes. Why? I just want to get in God's presence. I just want to be with Jesus like he wants to be with me. And I want to do it more than just asking for stuff, right? I want more than that. The second thing you can do today, let's look at one more verse real quick. The second thing that you can do today to get into the presence of God and be with God is to be with each other. To be with each other. Look, Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am among them. Let me encourage you, press in. Press into small groups. Press in. Get involved in a small group. You may be saying, I don't have a small group. It's not too late. You can jump into a small group. Press into a small group. When you show up at that small group, no matter what they're doing, we got small groups that play softball and small groups play football. We got small groups that exercise. We got all kinds of small groups. Some of them read books together. I mean, we got all these variety of small groups. But let me encourage you, press in. Press into those people. Press into those people. Be honest. Be open with somebody. And say, hey, listen, I just need prayer. Before we leave the football field today, I need somebody to pray for me. Because whenever you get together with other believers, the Bible says, when you come together in my name, that word name there in the Greek literally means identity or character. They used to not name babies until like 8 or 10 days later. Why? Because they wanted to see what the character of this baby was going to be like. So whenever we get together in the name and the character of God, he shows up, man. He shows up. I encourage you, press in. Look, you can't get every need met on a Sunday morning. I'm just going to be honest with you. You can't. As soon as we get done with this service, people are going to be tearing stuff down, moving stuff out of the way. Let me tell you where you can get needs met. Two or three people getting together. Just get together with somebody. Let somebody speak into your life. Let Jesus show up. I got two more things. The last one is this, and that is the Holy Spirit. See, the way that Jesus says, I will be with you always, even though I'm not physically with you, is because he says, I will send my spirit. And my spirit is my breath. It's who I am. And my spirit will be with you. The Bible says this in John chapter 14, verse 18. It says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In other words, whenever you die and go to heaven, I'll be there with you. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Listen to this, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said. Peace I leave with you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Listen, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to my Father. Listen, what he says there is, he says, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm not going to leave you not understanding anything. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is going to fill you up. He's going to live inside of you. If you read the Old Testament, the desire of the Father is not to live in a church. It's to be inside of each and every one of us. The desire of God is not for you to show up to meet Him. It's for Him to already be in you wherever you go. So He says, I'll send my Spirit. And my Spirit's going to live inside of you. Not only will my Spirit live inside of you, Acts chapter 1 says my Spirit will live on top of me. He'll just cover you and give you power to be a witness. I want to encourage you, press in. I told you, first of all, press into worship. Press in to small groups. Can I tell you this one? Press in to the Holy Spirit. Press into the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have understand the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, and I don't have time today to go through all that. That's a whole sermon. You can look back in our podcast. You can find sermons that I preach on Holy Spirit. But you know what? In the Bible, they didn't have a whole lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit. They just pressed in and God showed up. They pressed in and God showed up. I want to encourage you today, when you go home, take a little bit of time. You pray. You say, God, I don't understand everything about the Holy Spirit, but if I want you in my life, I need that Holy Spirit. So God, I just pray that you give it to me. It's a gift. The last thing that we do is this. And I'm only saying this because we're about to do it. There's this word commemorate. Commemorate. You know that word? Commemorate means to remember something by performing an action. Remember something by performing an action. Two actions that we perform, and I'm kind of using this as an announcement too, and that is, one of them is water baptism, right? Next week, we're going to be baptizing in water. If anybody wants to be water baptized, please check in at the table at the back. Make sure they know that you want to be water baptized. But let me tell you what water baptism is. Whenever you get water baptized, you are commemorating. You are performing an action that remembers what Christ has done in you. What Christ has done in you. Have y'all ever lost a loved one and you do an action to remember them? Right, there's some people, they've lost a loved one, but every time they play a certain card game, they remember that person. And it's almost like they're there with you, right? Jesus says, hey, whenever you get water baptized, you are remembering me, you are commemorating me, what I've done in your life. And I show up. Another one is communion. Communion, we're going to do that today. As we leave, Pastor Shane will dismiss you in just a few minutes, and you're going to go back to the back. We've got grapes, we've got bread, and I want you as a family just to take communion. Maybe you say, I didn't bring a family today, I don't have a family here with me. Just go back there with whoever brought you. And if that doesn't work, just find an older couple in the room, and they will adopt you. We got the best older people in the room, man. These people in here, they will adopt anybody. They adopted me. Some of them call me their grandson. I don't know why they would choose me, but they choose me, man. I like Jesus. I don't know why He loves me, but He does. So just get with somebody. Go back there, take communion. Let me tell you something. The Bible says this. Whenever you take communion, you remember what I did for you. You remember that I died and I bled just for you because I love you. So the old man dies in his bed. And the daughter goes in and finds him. She calls a young preacher and she says, hey, I just want to let you know, my dad passed away today. And the preacher said, well, tell me about it. What was it like? She said, you know, I went into the room and I told him I was going to go buy some groceries. And he told me one of his normal corny jokes and kissed me on the head and told me he loved me and he would see me later. She said, I left, went and bought groceries. About an hour later, I came back. And when I came back in the room, she said, I walked in and said, it was the weirdest thing. Dad was slumped over with his head in the chair. Just laying with his head in the chair, and he had passed away. Can I tell you what happened? He remembered that Jesus is there. And the last thing he did is just want to hang out with him. The last thing he did was just want to be close to him. Can I tell you something today? God wants to be close to you. Jesus wants to be with you today. The desire of his heart is to be with you. Whatever you're going through today, whatever you're dealing with today, it may be financial, it may be emotional, it may be physical, it may be spiritual. Whatever you're going through today, He is with you. There's some of y'all, the only reason you're here today is because He was with you in whatever it was that happened to you. And the only reason you're alive today is because Jesus was with you. We don't always even recognize that, but He's there. Why don't you close your eyes with me today?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.